Welcome to episode 10 of Autograph Weekly.
Hey, it's Dick DiBartolo, Mads Maddest Writer, and the GizWiz. You're listening to Autograph Weekly. I'm listening to a totally different show, but you enjoy Autograph Weekly.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
What's going on, autograph collectors? I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And I'm Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, where we will feed your autograph addiction every week until I, Zane Savage, sign a $254 million contract. Guys, we have a keyword hidden in today's show, as always. So keep your ears open for the keyword, because you're going to need to know that in the giveaway later in the show. So pay attention to every single word that comes out of my mouth. Let's move on to the return recap. Stacy, what did you get?
All right, this was a fairly slow week for me as compared to a few of the past weeks. Ended up sent out 31, got in 17 since the last show. Some of the names: got in Jeff Pigeon, signed 2 of 2. And he is famous for being the voice of the little aliens in the Toy Story movies. Also did some voice work for the movie Up and WALL-E as well. Probably the coolest success I got this week was from Peter Laird. He signed 2 trading cards I sent. He is actually the co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So that was an awesome return. That was well over a year wait on that, so that was awesome to get those back. Got in Sharon Osbourne as well. She signed an 8x10. Did not sign the photos that I sent. I think I sent 2 photos from America's Got Talent, but she didn't sign those. But sent an 8x10 that has, looks like it has like a preprint or something on the bottom of the photo, but There is, it looks like an actual legit signature on the upper half of the photo. So that was a cool return. Got in Jim Calhoun, signed 2 of 2, the great UConn basketball coach. Got a nice photo of him at the White House with President Obama. So that was a cool photo. Got in a couple of venue returns this week as well, from Stacy Keach and Kim Cattrall, both doing work on Broadway right now, so those were always nice to get the venue successes, and both those were, I think, both under 10-day returns, so that was pretty cool. And the last one I'm going to go over, got Jared and Brandy from Storage Wars this week. And just a heads up, looks like what they're doing, they're not signing photos that you guys sent out anymore. They're sending their own 4x6 photos. I saw the same photo, I think, 3 times this week from different people, so that is what I got in this week. What did you get in, Zane?
Well, you know, mail's going to slow down in the next couple weeks. Just Christmas, man. That's what happens with USPS. They get overloaded with stuff, and it gets slower. But I did get some really high-quality stuff in. Got Mike Huckabee via a private address, which is really nice. He signed 4 book plates. Mike Huckabee, of course, ran for president in 2008, and he's now on Fox News. Or fake news, as I like to call it. Got Lou Dobbs in. He signed 4 book plates. Kind of wish I would have sent him a picture, too, to go along with that, because it was kind of a shot in the dark on that. So, very happy to get the 4 book plates back signed, but an 8x10 would have been really nice. Next, got Tony Dungy. I had his book, and I sent him 2 book plates, and he signed both of those, and he signed 2 index cards. So it's very nice. Super Bowl winning coach. Next one has a funny story to it. Frank Gifford, the Hall of Fame football player, he signed my book and signed a photo that was already signed by Bob Costas. But in my book, the book was already signed by Paul Tagliabue, but Paul Tagliabue had nothing to do with the book. I think the person that got the book signed, just that's the only thing they had on hand, so they had Paul Tagliabue sign the book. So under Paul Tagliabue's signature, Frank wrote, "Hi, Paul, what are you doing in my book?" and then they signed his name. So that's just a really cool inscription, kind of a cool story to go along with the TTM, and it's one of my personal favorite signed books now. Next, we got Ozzy Osbourne, Sharon. Some people say this is signed by, or all of his photos are signed by his wife. But even if it was signed by his wife is Sharon Osbourne. So, I mean, it wouldn't be such a bad thing. But I don't know. I'm not 100% positive on them. They look similar to his in-persons. But, you know, an in-person and a signature when somebody's sitting down signing stuff for fan mail is going to look different, obviously. Because most in-persons are standing up with using somebody's back or just using thin air to support the photo. And the autographs are naturally going to look different. So, not totally sure on the authenticity, but I did get two photos from him signed, which is nice. And the last one, a lot of people jealous of this, got a private address again, Sean Kemp. One of the best players in the 90s, just a monster. Rain Man himself, make it rain! Signed two photos for me, and they turned out amazingly perfect and matches perfectly the certified autos that have been released lately. With Kemp on them. So, very happy with this week's mail week. I mean, not so much quantity, but the quality was definitely there. Let's move on to Geek a Week. Or, wait, no, because we have zero Geek a Weeks. No Geek a Week returns, which is kind of weird because our interview has to do with Geek a Week. So, kind of sucks that we had no returns this week, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say. No Geek Week news to really tell you guys, other than the awesome interview coming up later. Let's move on to the news for today. And Stacey, what you got that's newsworthy?
Alrighty, I've got a few stories and quick hits here. Going to start with, first of all, was a news story I found about a stolen guitar with Pearl Jam autographs found, but the signatures were gone. Belonged to a teenager with a tumor. Now, the story with this is police in Vermont say a stolen 1972 Fender Telecaster electric guitar autographed by members of Pearl Jam for a teenager who actually had a brain tumor has been recovered, but the signatures on the guitar are gone. It goes on to say that the two men have been jailed with charges of possession of stolen property, and the police say the autographs were sanded off. So, kind of a bad situation there that's going on here. The actual guitar was signed back in 1991. It was part of a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing that this kid with the brain tumor got. So just kind of a sad waste of a story there. It's just sad that stuff like that has to happen where people steal that kind of crap. And I think the funny part is that I don't know if they just didn't realize who the signatures were off, because I'm sure they would have got more out of the guitar with the signature on it than sanding them off, but couple other quick hits real quick here. If you guys are going to try to get an autograph of the great Messiah who lives and reigns in Denver, Colorado right now, got news for you. Tim Tebow's autograph prices have skyrocketed since his 71 start since he's been a starter with the Broncos. He actually, if you remember a few episodes back, I reported that he had signed a exclusive contract with somebody back in Florida from his days in He stayed loyal to them from his days back and playing football for Florida, but they were charging $160 for an autographed photo, and now they've jumped to $250. And if you want an inscription, it's another $50. So, good luck with that.
I mean, you can sell your car and get a couple of them if you want.
Yeah, no kidding. And then the last story is a quick update from our discussion on the postal cutbacks and closings. They had just passed some news that they were saying that the cutbacks are going to be held off for about 6 weeks, what they're thinking. Instead of the first part of April next year, now they're looking at mid-May. So little good news there. Hopefully they'll do something good with those 6 weeks and get that situation all figured out. So that's what I got for news this week. What do you got this week, Zane?
Yeah, it's a little bit of good news covering in a lot of bad news. the USPS situation, that's what I'm talking about. I have a story that was actually submitted by Michael Rhodes, and I found it very interesting, and I had to talk about it. Mr. Derek Jeter, it seems as though once he has a one-night stand with a woman, he sends her away in a nice, I think it's town car, And he has a gift bag in the car for every woman that he has a one-night stand with. And inside that bag is an autographed baseball, among other things. I'm sure there's like an iPod or something in there too. But turns out he actually had a one-night stand with the same woman twice. And he didn't recognize that he'd already had a one-night stand with her. And she noticed she got the exact same gift bag the next time. So apparently this is a normal thing for Jeter to do. You know, one-night stand equals signed baseball. So if you're interested, just contact Jeter, and I'm sure he'll be happy to give you your time of glory, and you get an autographed baseball out of it, so you can sell it on eBay. And that leads us to our keyword for today, which is classy. The keyword is classy. All right, guys, go ahead.
I just want to do a real quick follow-up to that Jeter story. First, when I first read that, the only thing I could think of was that's something more like A-Rod would do over Jeter, but...
Yeah, well, you know, a dude's a dude. We got to do what we got to do.
Yep.
Let's move on to the interview, which is now. All right, boys and girls, for weeks we have talked about our Geek Week project. We brought to you our successes, and today we have a very special guest on the line. It's Lynn Peralta, the creator of the Geek Week series. Say hi, Lynn.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
Lynn's here to answer some autograph questions, some Geek Week questions. It's going to be a spectacular, awesome, stupendous interview, isn't it, Lynn? You're going to make it amazing, aren't you?
Yeah, it's going to be the best interview we've ever had.
Of all time, in the history of audio.
In the history of audio, that's right. I don't disappoint. So.
Let's go ahead and jump into the quickie questions. These are questions not necessarily entered fast, but they're about you and what you do and stuff that me and Stacey are interested in, and I'm sure everybody else is. So let's go ahead and get started. What is the origin of Geek Week? What made you come up with the idea, the spectacular, amazing idea?
Well, Geek Week was sort of a response to me wanting to do more awesome things. At the time, I was working on... some stuff for Woodstock, which is the traveling kind of variety show that's done by Paul and Storm, Will Wheaton, and Adam Savage. So I was working on stuff for that. I was working on a book with Trace Beaulieu from Cinematic Titanic, and I kind of selfishly wanted to work on more geeky types of stuff and want to do more of that. So I was at lunch with a friend of mine, and she kind of suggested, she's like, well, you should just do a Geek a Week. And I'm like, well, I don't know what that is. And she's like, well, that's why you're a creative person. You're going to figure it out. So so I went back to my office and I talked to Paul and Storm. We were kind of, you know, I chatted with them a little bit, and we came up with this idea of trading cards, which was incredible and just really, really cool. And that was the genesis of it. Really, it was just one of these things where I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to try to do this. And I knew enough people that I could start.
Right.
You know, I knew that, like, well, I could probably ask this person and ask this person.
Right.
As I went on week to week and asked more people if they wanted to be a part of it, you know, the names just got more crazy and more incredible. And it was, I got to talk to a lot of really great people and connect with a lot of different people. And that's, you know, the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing set, and the reviews online are amazing. I see people everywhere talking about the cards, which are available on ThinkGeek, by the way, guys, if you want to go buy some. And yeah, you've just done a great job with it, man. And when we started this podcast, that was one of the main things we wanted to do, is find a project of people to write off to. And your set was literally perfect, like, because me and Stacey are also big into technology, and it was just the perfect storm, if you will.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next question. What is the weirdest thing, and by the way, you mentioned this earlier, that you have witnessed at Woodstock?
You know, that's a good question. I've been in two Woodstocks and been lucky to be, I think, at like backstage, I think at like two or three, or think I can't remember. I've been at a couple, and I think it's so funny because I don't know if there's anything weird. Everything's weird back there, you know. I mean, it's just a, you know, especially at San Diego, there's just so many people that kind of in the background that are just not on stage, just backstage. And so just seeing all these people together is kind of like, you know, blows my mind. You know, I remember I was sitting there talking to you know, Riff Trax, Mike Nelson and Bill Corbett, and they're like, oh, do you know Drew Curtis from FARC? And I'm like, really, you're Drew Curtis? And then there's just like all these people that just collide with one another, and it's really interesting, I think, not weird,
right,
but it's cool to see like someone like a Grant Imahara talking to Amy Berg or Felicia Day exchanging notes with John Scalzi or something. And, you know, I mean, it's just one of these things where it's like, wow, you know, look at this. It's just kind of a weird intersection to be a part of. And
it's a melting pot of geeks.
It is. And yeah. it's not only that, but I think in a much bigger sense, it's sort of like a cultural thing. You know, like, this is like a touchstone for this generation, and there's a lot of people that are doing some really, really interesting things online through entertainment and things like that, through art and through music, and to see them kind of intersect like that is, I think, just really, really, it's an honor for me to be a part of it in the little sense that I am. So it was really, really cool.
I think it's really cool also that it's almost like the geek culture has become the cool culture in our world. And I think that has a lot to do with the progression of technology in our world and how technology is basically taken over what we do every day. And yeah, to get those things to run, we need nerds.
So. Right. Well, I think there's a lot of respect that wasn't there before. And I think, you know, people still try to play it off as like, ah, you're a big geek or a nerd, but you know what? It's there's a healthy amount of respect, I think, that that makes, you know, the type of people that like the kind of things like Star Wars and Firefly and things makes them relevant. And I think it's a nice turning point.
Knowledge is power, right?
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the next question, which is very interesting. Where did you get your fascination with zombies?
Oh man! Well, you know what? I was kind of, I by default have to like zombies because my birthday is right a couple days before Halloween. So I've always been fascinated with monsters and you know, Draculas and werewolves and all those things. And I, you know, zombies just are kind of a generic sort of creature, right? It's this interesting thing that you can draw that it, you know, you can make it look like people and you can do a lot of things with them and they're kind of comical and funny and you know, or they can be grim and there's just something about it, you know. And it's I think it's one of the rare monsters that people I know and respect actually have backup plans for their lives in the event that they actually come to life, which is, you know, I don't think anybody has a werewolf plan, like escape plan or a vampire escape plan, but people I know will be like, oh yeah, this is what you gotta do, you know, you gotta douse them with fire and then run the hell up the stairs. I don't know, you know what I mean? It's like people have these escape routes for zombie plans. And I think that says a lot about why why zombies are so important and why they're a big part of my life.
You've never obviously met a Twilight fan. They have werewolf.
Do they? Yeah. No, I try to avoid them, actually. So I wouldn't.
Smart man.
I wouldn't have seen them.
No. Well, that brings us to our next question. If you could be any type of zombie, what would you be? Like a Romero zombie? Or?
That's a good question. You know, I would probably be... if you ever play the game Left 4 Dead,
oh, yeah,
I'd probably be one of those big fat ones that blow up, vomit and blow up on you. I find them fascinating because, what are they called now? They're not tanks.
No, I know what you're talking about, but I'm not going to be able to remember it. 2 years ago is when I played that game. Colton recorded a song for it, though, in the last one.
Jonathan Colton, that's right. So I'd probably be one of those big fat guys.
Nice. All right, let's move on away from zombies. Which celebrity were you most nervous interviewing for the Geek Week podcast? If any, you may be the coolest guy on earth. I didn't feel one nerve, but if you did, who was it?
I was nervous to talk to a couple people. It was, I think there was one day in particular during last summer where I had to talk to Stan Lee and Weird Al in like the same day within hours of one another.
Jeez.
And it was like, I was so excited. And it was really cool. I mean, it was interesting because I came up with this interview kind of archetype where I was asking the same questions to the people. So I didn't get nervous. So I didn't have to think about them, geek out,
right,
and become a fanboy.
Right.
And it worked out really well because I knew what I was going to say. I didn't have to be nervous. I just let them talk. And that helped kind of quell the nerves. But I think, so that was kind of a nervous day. But right. I think one of the ones that really I was like, oh my gosh, was when I talked to Steve Wozniak. Yeah. That was like, yeah, right. I mean,
he had basically invented the personal computer, and yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was, well, it was a real honor to talk to him.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, I think back to it and I'm thinking, did I really do that? And it's one of those moments where you're just like, wow, that's pretty amazing. And he had this really great conversation, and it was a lot of fun to talk to him. And I think after I got off the line with him, I noticed that the recording equipment had failed. But luckily, it was really robust, and I didn't lose it. It just sort of garbled at the end, and I was able to actually download it again and get what I needed. But
wow,
that was kind of scary.
I would say, hey, Steve, can we do that 45-minute conversation again? That'd be great.
Yeah, you're not busy at all, I know. So no, wow. But that was it was a lot of fun. That was those stand out as being probably the most nerve-wracking,
right,
I think.
All right, this one's going to be a toughie. I don't even know if you'll be able to answer it, but how many drawings/paintings have you done in your lifetime?
Ugh, jeez, man. You know, I'm going to say just in the past couple of years alone, I know I've done probably close to about 3,000 to 4,000 drawings. So I'm guessing anywhere probably around, I want to say close to about 20,000 to 30,000, maybe. A lot.
That's crazy, man.
I mean, I draw at least one thing every day, but if not more. Sometimes I'll draw up to like 5 or 6 things a day. So, I don't know. I mean, a lot.
How bad is your carpal tunnel then?
Oh, luckily, no, not yet. Knock on wood. I don't have that yet. Just I think about that often, though.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, that would be kind of painful.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
Or loss of eyesight would be very bad.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And this one's kind of for me. I was wondering, like I said, we've done this Geek Week project with me and Stacy for several months now. And I was wondering.
Congratulations, by the way. I'm really impressed with the people that you've gotten in touch with.
Yeah, we're pretty good at getting in touch with people. That's one of our fortes. They call me the private address king because I can find anybody's private address, which is kind of creepy on one end. But it's kind of cool in the autograph community because a lot of people really need those addresses, and I'm kind of the gatekeeper. Anyways, enough about me. We're here to talk about you. So in the Geek Week set, you have Tori, Carrie, Grant, and Adam from MythBusters. Where the hell is Jamie?
Jamie is in he's actually in one of the new sets that were just released at ThinkGeek. He is a bonus geek.
Oh.
I have him drawn as the Juggernaut from Marvel Comics, and he so he was a bonus geek I believe in the second set, cards 32 through 52 34 through 52, so he's a bonus geek in that. So
that
there is a MythBusters subset within the Geek a Week set, which is kind of cool,
which you can get on thinkgeek.com, by the way, guys.
Yes.
All right, let's get on to the autograph questions. The reason everybody is here, to know your opinions on autograph collecting. And Stacy's got the first question. Go ahead, Stacy.
All right, well, when was the first time you was asked for an autograph, and do you recall the situation?
Interesting. You know, I'm sure it was a while back, but the one that really stands out is getting the request from you, Stacy. I mean, I'm sure I've been asked to draw, like, to sign a drawing that I've done. And that's not quite the same as getting a index card where someone just wants your signature. And so I think that was the very first time that has ever happened. So that is pretty special right there.
You the man, Stacy.
Yeah, I think that was I think that occasion was probably 2 or 3 years ago. I think that was the first time I talked to you. So
yeah, yeah, and it was. I've never been asked like that before. Otherwise, I'd be I'd be signing like posters and things like that. But not where I was just signing an index card for somebody. That was very different. So.
Well, that leads us to our next question. How many autograph requests do you get on a monthly basis?
You know, I sign a lot of things that I draw. So I don't know if that really counts.
Yeah, you can count those. I would count those. I mean,
I don't really get requests. It's funny because up until recently, I had never thought it was important for me to sign my stuff. So right. I would draw something and not include my signature, but
I hate that. I hate that. You know, I go to cons. I go to an anime con, and they have people that draw there, and I always have them. They'll give it to me done, not signed. I'm like, sign it right now. Sign it. So yeah.
No, I don't. You know, up until recently, and it's been, you know, partially because of my success with Geek Week, I feel like, well, you know, I should probably sign this, and so I've been doing that a lot more and putting my name on things. So that's kind of new. But as far as people asking me, I don't really get too many, to be honest with you. Sorry to disappoint you.
It makes sense, because I would say artists get a lot more requests for doodles and stuff like that. Hey, can you draw me a little thing? Can you draw me a little thing here? So that makes sense. Stacey, next.
All right. Do you have any autographed items? If so, what?
Yes, I do. I actually, my favorite recent one that I got, I was at San Diego Comic-Con, and I got to meet one of my heroes. It was George Plimpton. It was, not George Plimpton, is it? Yes, Plimptoons. He does Plimpton. Bill Plimpton. Oh, my gosh.
Bill Plimpton, yeah.
Not George Plimpton. Bill Plimpton. And I saw him sitting there, and I was so taken aback because he had been such a huge influence on my work. I remember looking at his stuff and thinking, wow, you don't have to be perfect to be good. And this is, that was what he taught me. So I actually got a little signed doll from him. Like, he drew me, and he drew it on a doll. I got that. And I also got some signed original like cells and prints from him, which was really cool. But I also I have a lot of other stuff. I have some stuff. Kenny Baker from R2D, who played R2-D2 in Star Wars, and Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca, both signed stuff for me.
Nice.
I have them somewhere, and I'm sure I have other stuff. I have like Woodstock posters that are signed by everybody, and you know, Neil Gaiman. I have a Neil Gaiman death poster, which is signed by Neil and framed here. So yeah, I am. I guess I'm a closet autograph hound.
Right. I think for some people, I know for myself, it's the personal experience, the person actually taking time to sit down and sign something for you. It's kind of a connection you have with somebody that you really respect. And
sure.
I think it's really cool. And in that respect, a lot of people are autograph fans, if you will, because you're actually you know, getting that one-on-one contact. Okay, so has the increase in form letters affected your attitude toward fan mail? And I don't know if you get many form letters, but if you did, let's say I write you a very personal letter talking about all your work, and somebody else writes you a letter that basically is the same thing you can send out to anybody with your name and what you do inserted into a certain spot. Are you going to respond differently to those, or are you just going to sign all the stuff on both and send them off?
You know, I guess I've been lucky or fortunate enough not to have too many of those.
You will.
but I guess, you know, if it became like pretty obvious that I was getting hundreds of these things, then I'd just ignore them. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's hard for me to answer because I'm not in that situation.
Right. Well, you probably will be eventually, especially if your email is out there. There's a lot of people in foreign countries and stuff that they see a celebrity's email and they just go spam it with form letters. I'd say it'd be hard, you know, on the celebrity's end to actually gauge whether, okay, this is a real letter or this is some letter that some guy drummed up that has no idea who I am.
Well, I'm very flattered that you would consider me a celebrity. I don't think I've hit that yet. So.
But you're getting there, dude, and I think you're on your way there. So just look forward to the form letters. They'll come pouring in. I'm sure some idiots from listening to our show will send you some if you want some. Stacey, next question.
Alrighty, what is the weirdest or strangest item you've ever signed?
Hmm, interesting. Let me think here.
I would even go as further to say maybe even draw. Like if somebody said, hey, can you draw this? you know, that
I
could, would
I have one of those stories, yes. I haven't signed anything strange. And if I have, I may have tried to blot it out of my memory. But I do remember I was at a show years ago at a comic convention, and I was drawing, and somebody came up to me, and there were two requests. One person, there's always these strange people at these comic book conventions. One of them asked me to draw She-Hulk naked, which I'll never forget. And then the other one was this guy took me aside. And he, you never go to these comic book conventions, and there's always a guy there selling like adult material, like everything's covered up, you know.
Yeah.
And so this guy comes over to me with like these Penthouse trading cards. He's like, "Can you draw this?" And I'm thinking to myself, "Dude, you already have the trading cards.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want me to draw you this naked picture? Which is the photograph is probably much better than what anything I can draw." Well, what is with you?
Like, hentai fan, dude. He's a hentai fan.
Maybe that's what it was. Right, could you draw her with the humongous eyes? And I don't know. It was very strange. And I said, you know, I don't really do that. There's kids around.
Yeah.
it's
understandable.
A strange quest.
next, this also goes for like drawings and stuff. Do you mind when people ask for multiple autographs or drawings, say, or doodles, or is there a limit that you'll do?
Oh, no. You know, well, as long as they're paying for them, then sure, I'll do as many as you want.
Right.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I will get, because some of the things I do are a little bit lower cost.
Right.
People always assume that oh well, he's doing a flip face for $15. Oh, I can get him to do an entire thing for $15, and
yeah.
It's like I have to explain that is like that's this world, like
right.
That's what I do here. And then if you want me to do this, I mean, these are two like lost leaders that I'm doing. This isn't actually how I make my living. I make my living by drawing, but this is just kind of like introducing you to my stuff.
Right.
So I have people who have like. Try to take advantage of that, I guess, if
yeah.
you will, and that's kind of a turnoff. That's strange.
It's like, will you do a flip face, but put it on a canvas and make it, you know, an 8x10?
Yeah,
ten?
Yeah. I remember there was this lady who wanted me to draw her baby and for like a party or something, and she was like, it was just really strange. You know, every once in a while I'll get these people who are like really demanding, and it's like you understand that. You are getting something that's valuable for, you know, very little, and
right.
you know, this, it's not like I just have a press that makes these things
yeah.
happen, you know. I mean, I actually spend time on this stuff, and
right.
so yeah, every once in a while that will be kind of like a really weird turn off, like that's right. So
all right, Stacey.
All right, the next question. I said I don't know how often this has ever applied to you, but what are your thoughts on your autograph being sold, or you can take that as if you signed a print or something and saw somebody on eBay selling it?
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, if that ever happened, I think I'd be really flattered. Like, wow, if that ever happened to me, that would mean that I had made it. Like, it was so important to somebody to go black market with this stuff that suddenly I'm like, oh, wow, okay. You know, I'm sure if that became like the norm, it would get kind of annoying. But I think the first time I would see that, I'd be like, wow, that means that someone actually cares enough to do that.
But well, what if you gave that person that print for free and they came up to you and said they're a huge fan and then they put it on eBay?
Oh, and then they sold it.
Yeah,
well, you know.
That's more.
Yeah. How would I ever find out, I guess? You know what I mean?
Right, right. If you, like, said two, some guy's name was Knucklehead or nickname was Knucklehead, you said two Knucklehead, Lynn Peralta, and signed the print.
And then Knucklehead
saw it on eBay. You Googled your name, which we all do. Admit it, we all do. You all Google your name. You Google your name, and it pops up in eBay as he's selling it.
Yeah, I guess that would be. Yeah. I'd probably write to him and say, "Hey, knucklehead, what the hell, man?"
And then he probably
had a deal, you know.
He'd probably delete his email because he's probably a troll, and he'd
seep back into the depths.
So, how do you feel about collectors looking for personal information to contact you? So, let's say, and your information's out there, so people can contact you if they want to. You're very fast when you respond to email and stuff. But if you weren't, and somebody wanted to send like a print to you to get signed, and your information wasn't out there, and they did some background checks and stuff to find your home address. Do you find that flattering, or do you find it?
No, that would be really creepy, man. You know, I mean, that happened once, not necessarily with prints and stuff, but I remember I was part, and this is like so far removed from autograph hunting,
right.
But I used to run a message board, and I don't know if you guys are East Coast. Well, there was a huge blackout on the one part of the country back in like 2004 or something like that, 2003. And it was, all the power went out. And I just remember the phone rang, and it was somebody from my message calling to see if I was okay. And I'm like, how did you get this number? And they're like, oh, well, we looked you up. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one thing to be like, you know, I know we're friendly and everything online, but what the hell?
Yeah, for real. Me and Stacy, we actually talked about this last time. I think phone calls are definitely overboard, unless you have the person's permission through another source of contact. But we actually, it's interesting, because like I said, I'm the private address king, so I'm really good at finding private addresses for people. I try to make sure they're at least, you know, famous, like famous, like Brad Pitt famous.
Right.
If I'm going to try to do that, because I'm sure that they are used to that, and they're not going to be caught off guard if I send something to their home address. But if there's somebody lower level, then I will email them, you know, because they probably have an email available, or if they have an IMDb or something. But yeah, I could see where it would be kind of, especially if you get your first like through the mail response. If you got something at your house, like a fan letter, and you did not give that address out, would you be freaked out?
Yeah, I would be a little bit.
I often
think, like, you know, it's funny because I often think, like, when am I going to have to get, like, a P.O. box or something,
right.
Like, you know, where mail does not come here.
Right.
I have been lucky enough not to have to deal with that, but, you know, once again, knock on wood, we'll see. Who knows, you know?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to dig up your private address tonight.
wait.
No, I'm kidding. Stacy, go on with the next question, bro.
Alrighty, the last one is, what projects do you have going on now, and where can people find your work online?
Ooh, well, I am, I can't really talk about what I'm working on right now. There's a couple things I'm working on that are pretty dang cool, but nothing's finalized, so I can't really talk about it. But in 2012, I'm sure there'll be, some chatter about it, but I can't really talk about what I'm doing. But if you want to see anything I'm doing, you go to lenperalta.com. That will lead you to my sites Geek Week, Monster by Mail, and Flipface, where you can see my art, buy my art, and contact me directly if you want to commission me for the geeky pinups or whatever you want to do. I'm pretty available and try to be pretty accommodating to people. So, you know, let loose. Let's see what you can do. Do your worst.
And Lynn has some great prices, guys. So if you need any art done, definitely check him out because he's a great option. Well, Lynn, it's been a great conversation. You answered these questions wonderfully. It was an honor to talk to you, man. And again, you are the reason we're doing the whole Geek Week project. We talk about it every week on the podcast about who we get in. And you are the reason for that, bro. So we really do appreciate it. And like I said, you were great.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's flattering to know that people would think of me as a celebrity, but I am not. So
you're getting there, bro. You're getting there.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Well, if we ever have any more questions, we may get you back on the show to answer about Geek Week or something.
Cool.
But all right, that's it, guys. Thanks for listening to the interview, and ciao. All right, let's move on to the Q&A section of our podcast. Stacy, what questions do we have today?
All right, we got quite a few again this week, so that's always a good thing. We're going to start with the first one coming from Michael Rhodes, and that is, removing personalizations or inscriptions, good or bad idea, have you done it?
Guilty. Have you?
I will. Myself, I never have, actually.
Oh, really? I've done it quite a bit. And half the time, it's because the inscription gets smeared, and to make the item presentable, I have to take the inscription off. However, some items just... when I have several items personalized to me, some items just look better framed without the inscription. Like, the inscription's in a really weird spot, and I take the inscription off. I usually use Axe body spray. That's the best thing I've found. Because if you use actual rubbing alcohol, it'll rub through the picture and take part of the picture off, usually. Unless it's glossy. You may be alright if it's glossy, but that's my experience. I have no problem with it. I think it's your autograph. You can do what you want with it. You know, it's your property. Yes, it was given to you by the celebrity, but... now, if you're doing it just to sell them, I do have a problem with that. But if you're doing it for a trade, I don't have a problem with that. Because, again, it's your property, and if you... the other person doesn't want that on there. They could technically do it for themselves, but if you think you can do a better job and you think you can handle it, you know, that's my opinion. How about you?
Pretty much the same thing. Like I said, I've never done it. I mean, wouldn't even know how until you've said that. So, I mean, I've heard rubbing alcohol in the past, but Axe is new to me, so.
Yeah, Axe body spray. It's actually a lot gentler on the photo, and it works. So, for all you people wanting to remove inscriptions out there, glossy things only. If you try to remove it on something that's not glossy, you're just going to get basically a fade of the inscription, and basically it's going to look like crap. So, and don't try it on matte photos because it'll wipe the picture away. But
do you still get attacked by all the chicks when you spray it?
The autograph does. I don't.
Oh, okay.
All right, next question.
All right, moving on. We've got a couple of questions coming from Jeremy Daniels. The first one: will the rise in price of postage hinder what you will send out or how many letters you send out?
No.
I will agree with that as well. I don't think it's going to, especially stuff within the U.S., a penny's not going to hinder what I send out. Overseas, maybe, but I mean, I don't do a lot of that to begin with anyway.
I mean, it's really, think about it, okay? You're writing to a celebrity and they're writing back to you for 88 cents already. It's going to be, what, 90 cents? It's going to be 45 cents a piece.
Yep.
That's an amazing deal, okay? That's not going to hinder me at all. They can raise it to 50 cents a stamp, right? It still wouldn't hinder me at all.
Yep, I will totally agree with that as well. Like I said, it shouldn't have any effect on what I do at all, so. Moving on to Jeremy's second question. When you get a success from someone, what is a good amount of time that should lapse before you send off to that person again? And I will start with...
go ahead.
Do you want to start with this one?
No, you go ahead.
In my case, I usually wait. I mean, I'm guilty of doing this all the time, but I usually wait. Usually, I'm going to say 3 to 4 months, unless it's something I necessarily need or really want for something that I'm doing or PC or something like that, but normally I won't send again for, like I said, usually 3 to 4 months, and sometimes I like to hold it off at least maybe 6 months. But like I said, it all depends on what it is and who I'm writing to and trying to get. So, what about yourself?
I try to do 6 months, but there is an exception if you actually have contact with the person and they actually answered some questions and stuff, and they enjoyed your letter enough to make it personal, like a very personal response. I would have no problem writing back maybe the next week saying, thank you for what you signed. I also found this. Do you mind signing it? Like, if it's a personal response like that, then I'd have no problem just writing back immediately if I found something I wanted to sign. But with people that get so much fan mail that they just go through it and sign it, I try to wait at least 6 months because they're probably not going to remember me anyway. But out of courtesy, I don't know. It just seems like the right thing to do. Even though it probably wouldn't affect anything if you just wrote back. Like, the signers that are just well known for signing everything, I'm sure they get thousands of pieces of mail every month. It probably doesn't make a difference, but it's kind of a courtesy thing. So I say 6 months.
Alrighty, we'll move on to the next question. This one is coming from Kevin Wallace, and this question is, have you guys ever put an address of a second person wanted on a dual graph on your SASC? And I'm assuming I didn't know exactly how to take this question, but I believe me and Zane talked a little bit about this beforehand, but kind of thinking that he's maybe thinking people in the same household or husband, wife, or
like a show, like if you write to a show, you want multiple people in the show, stuff like that. So like if they're around each other, if you write to somebody and they're around this other person a lot, you would ask for their signature also. Like an example, I wrote off to Faye Kellerman, the author, and her husband is Jonathan Kellerman, their husband and wife. And did I say daughter? Anyways, their husband and wife. And I asked Faye to have her husband also sign a book plate because I had one of his books also. So I got back the response with Faye's autograph and Jonathan's. I think that's what you're talking about. So yes, I've done that a couple times. It works sometimes. Like if you write into a show, it's probably not going to work. Like if you write to The Office and you want Steve Carell's autograph and, I don't know, one of the other people in the office, but they're probably not going to get the other person to sign just because they're so busy. But if it's a household address, I'm sure they'll probably oblige. Just got to be respectful about it and, you know, yeah.
Like I said, I'll follow it up. I've done that a few times as well. Never really anything, like, major celebrity-wise. Probably the biggest thing was the Farrelly Brothers that I got DVD cover signed. I addressed it to both of them to say it's their brothers and it's their studio. So, and they both did sign the DVD cover. So, I mean, it worked in that case. Most other cases, it's been some tech stuff. I've done that at TWIP before where I've had Tom Merritt and his wife sign stuff because she works there as well. But I wouldn't say I don't do it a whole lot, but on a rare occasion.
Yeah, I think John Travolta and Kelly Preston also dual sign, but I know for a fact that the Travoltas are secretarial. I know there's a big debate about it. Ooh, is John Travolta secretarial? Yes, he is, because I've checked out. In my opinion, he is, because I can't say for sure. Nobody can say for sure, but if you actually look at the L and the T at the end of Travolta, in all of the secretarials, they're all smaller than the T in Travolta at the beginning. But in all of his in-persons and every single thing I've saw, I actually looked at a video where he is holding up a sign that he signed and wrote for some charity. And it was in a video. I paused the video. I zoomed in on the autograph, and it held true for that. His L and his T are the same size, if not bigger, than his first T in Travolta. And that's held strong throughout all of his autographs that I've seen. So, in my opinion, his TTMs are not authentic. Which leads me to believe Kelly Preston's, probably not. I haven't even looked at hers to check, but probably not. Anyways, they do dual sign, but I think they're secretarial. Sorry, that was a totally off topic.
Not a problem. Moving on to the next question. This is, how old should an actor and actress be before sending off a TTM? And I'm just going to say is the non-PC answer as soon as they can pick up a pen or a pencil and write.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. As long as they can understand what they're doing. We've, like, kind of discussed this before. If the person knows what they're doing and, okay, I'm signing an autograph for somebody, this could be sold on eBay. But I don't know. I don't even think they have to. What I don't want to happen is for some child star to become an autograph cranking out machine and not know, you know, just sign a million autographs for people that are just going to sell them on eBay, which is, I don't know. It's hard to differentiate, you know, those kind of people and those fan letters, for even for adults. So it's not really a valid point, but there's no real age. You can't really say, oh, it's definitely 6 or it's definitely 7. It's whenever the person is mature enough to make the decision to sign autographs, you know, which could be 5 if they know what they're doing. So
yeah, I totally agree with that. I said it personally. I haven't sent to too many people that young, which we'll get to. There's another question about this and a couple questions down, so we'll talk some more about this in a couple minutes here, but we'll move on to the next question. This is coming from AJ Kaiser, and he wants to know, what is the largest and or the most obscure item you've sent TTM? And I'll let Zane start with this, as I think I know what his answer is already.
Well, the largest would be, I haven't got it back yet. I sent a giant stuffed animal, a giant stuffed Clifford, to Norman Bridwell to get signed. I included the Sharpie. Still haven't heard back from him yet, so he might have been freaked out by the big stuffed animal that I sent. I shaved its stomach so that he could sign it. So that's kind of weird. But we'll see if I get that back anytime soon. If I do, it'll be an amazing success. The weirdest item I'd probably have to be my Wilford Brimley signed diabetes testing supply box. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. I sent a diabetes testing supply box to Wilford Brimley and had him sign it. And it's hanging on my wall right now. I really like that piece. I'm trying to get more creative with things I send off. Like, this didn't work, but I tried. I sent off to Rebecca Black, who sings Friday, Friday, you know, the really annoying song. And I sent her 3 calendar pages of Friday. Like, I just ripped from a calendar. I was like, man, that'd be awesome to have her sign on the Friday, you know? So, but she didn't send them back. But she did send me a t-shirt and other stuff to replace it. So that was nice. But I love weird stuff like that. So that answer hopefully will change as I find weirder and weirder ideas to send to people. I want to send stuff to them, but I don't want to freak people out, you know? Maybe one day when they're on like Jay Leno or Conan, they'll be like, oh, you won't believe what this guy sent me to autograph through the mail, you know? You hear those stories every once in a while on there. I want to be that guy. How about you, Stacey?
As far as the largest, probably many. I've sent many helmets. I think a football once, magazines, books. Nothing really like super huge or super bizarre in that sense. Obscure items I've sent. Give some examples here. I had Steve Wiebe, who was in the King of Kong documentary. He signed a couple of Donkey Kong cartridges for me, an Atari 2600 cartridge, and an actual regular Nintendo for copy of Donkey Kong. He signed that for me. I used to do a lot of baseballs, and I used to send them to, people that had nothing to do with baseball and had them sign. I got the Pawn Stars on a baseball back when they used to sign regularly TTM. Some other odd stuff like that I've gotten. I can't think of some other baseballs. Some tech people on baseballs and stuff like that. Probably this one was one that I didn't send for this. I got friends with Matt Morgan, the wrestler that's in TNA, used to be in WWE when he first came up, but he actually sent me a signed pair of his wrestling trunks from his first TNA pay-per-view. So that's probably, that may be the most obscure item. It wasn't something I wrote off for, but he just sent it to me, so that was kind of cool.
Let's move on to the next question, bro.
Alrighty, the next one is, we have a couple coming from Chris Benoit. I believe that's how you pronounce the last name. Sorry if I butchered that. First one is, with more and more young people in Hollywood, who is the youngest person you've sent to?
I have no idea on mine, because I think pretty much everybody I've wrote off to is over 18 that I can remember. I don't think I have any people under 18, but I do have a piece in my collection of somebody that's really cool. If you've ever seen Death Race, Freddie Kohler is in that. He's also in Lost. But he was a child star before he was an adult star. Not an adult star, he's not a porn star. But before he was an actor as an adult, he was a child actor. I forget which, Katie and Allie, I think, was the show he was in as a kid. I bought a signed letter from him when he was like 9, I think, or maybe it was 7. But he it's a handwritten letter by him when he was 7. And it's like really, you know, how kids write when they're 7. It's really bad handwriting, and it's really cool because now he's actually an adult and he's a star, and not a star, but he's a big name in Hollywood. So that's probably my coolest piece that's signed by somebody under 18. Maybe my only piece.
I can already think of another one. You were just saying,
oh, Rebecca Black. Song. Yeah, that's right, Rebecca Black. I guess she's what, 15,
14 or 15, I don't remember. Yeah, somewhere in that range. Now.
That video came out like a year ago or something. Anyways, yeah, I got her, so I guess she counts. How about you?
And mine would be, the only one I can think of right at hand, I think last year was Madison Lentz from The Walking Dead, or spoiler alert, was in The Walking Dead until the last episode before they went to mid-season break, so. And I think I honestly couldn't tell you how old she is. I'm guessing somewhere in the range of 12 to 14, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But that would be my answer to that question. And his second question is, have you ever sent a request or photo to a person only to find out it was the wrong person? And I'll let Zane start with this.
I have sent the wrong photos to people, and they said this is not me. Like Frank Gifford, the first time I tried to send off to him, I sent one photo and two index cards, and it wasn't him in the photo. And he sent a thing. He's like, "This is not me," and didn't sign anything. I was like, "Crap!" But actually, send it to the wrong person, like write a letter, and it be the wrong person. I've never done it, but I've seen it happen on Star Tiger with Joe Morgan, the coach, who I think coached the Reds actually. But he was a coach, and he gets mixed up a lot with the Hall of Famer Joe Morgan and the epic Roger Craig. The Roger Craig, the baseball player, gets mixed up a lot with Roger Craig, the football player. So, there was also, I think, Dusty Rhodes. There is a baseball player named Dusty Rhodes, and then there's a wrestler named Dusty Rhodes. I've seen several mix-ups on that through Star Tiger. But none personally. How about you, Stacey?
Nothing as far as the person like you. I mean, the same thing's happened with the photos. Photos with me too, where y'all stick. I usually send three photos sometimes, especially some of the older people that you send requests to. Sometimes the photos, you get the wrong person. Or I think the most recent was we sent off to me and Mike at the Autograph Network, sent off to a great granddaughter of Jesse James, I believe it was. The Outlaw, and one of the photos that we sent wasn't that Jesse James, or wasn't a photo of Jesse James, and she wrote a note back saying, telling us that. So, I mean, that happens on occasion, but I mean, as far as writing to the wrong person, I don't think I've written on that either. And we will move on to the last question, and this one's coming from David Stotler, Bloodspawn, wanting to know if we have ever sent Sharpies with our request for photos, or I suppose that could be sending Sharpies for other objects or pens or whatever for baseballs or whatnot. So what about you, Zane?
Yeah, I mean, I've done it. I did it with Norman Birdwell, and I've done it with, I believe I did it with the baseball back. That sounded dirty. I sent one with a pen with a baseball years ago. I don't even remember who it was. I think it was Randy Jones. I think it was Randy Jones. But I don't do it very often. But if you do it, don't expect to get your pen back. It's just common sense that they're probably going to keep it. Sometimes they send it back. But for the most part, just kiss it goodbye. Don't be pissed off when you don't get it back. Can't think of anybody else on the top of my head. The thing with the Sharpie is, if you're going to send it, you're going to need something. You're going to want to send it with something bulky, because if you send it with like an 8x10, it's not going to go in the package well, and you're going to get charged extra shipping, and your photo is going to get bent because of the Sharpie. It's just going to be a mess. So I wouldn't send it with any photos or anything, unless the photos are with another bulk item and you actually send a box. That makes sense. But like baseballs, I can understand sending pens with. Like my big Clifford doll that I sent, obviously it has to be a Sharpie that he has to use, and I didn't want him to try to sign it with something else and ruin it. So, like, just go ahead and send the pen I want him to sign with. Stuff like that, I mean, you pretty much have to get it signed right, so.
Yeah, I'll just follow up. I've done that on occasion, too. I've always sent pens with baseballs just so it doesn't get signed in something else, because once you learn from the Sharpie on a baseball disaster where it bleeds, you learn your lesson to send pens. So every time I send a baseball, it's always a pen. As far as Sharpies and with photos, I don't do it a lot. If it's something specific or that you want something signed on a different color, I'll send a Sharpie. Or if it's a black picture or whatever, and you don't want them to sign in a black Sharpie, I've sent a silver Sharpie before. But those are about the only occasions I can think of. Anything else you want to add to that, Zane?
Not really. I mean, use as needed.
Yep. All right, now we'll hand this off to Zane to take over as we move on to our discussion segment.
Yeah, this discussion segment is not going to be really a discussion. It's going to be more of a helping guide for you guys. A lot of people ask about how we store autographs and what we do there, and we actually got a question about matting today and where I get my stuff matted. I get my stuff matted. Stacey hasn't got into it yet, but... it looks really nice matted. What was the question? It was, does the matting actually increase the value of the item? I believe that was the question, correct?
Yeah, that was the question.
Well, in turn, no. It really doesn't increase the value of the item. But here's what it does do. When you're selling it, it opens it up to a broader audience. So let's say I'm a rich son of a gun and I don't know anything about autographs, but I really like... think of an autograph I have hanging on my wall. I really like Gerald Ford, okay? And some Joe Schmo is selling a Gerald Ford signed index card, and I'm a rich son of a gun. I don't want that. Why would I just want a signed index card? Because I don't know anything about autographs. I want something I can display and show people. So I'm not going to bid on that. But I got a lot of money, and when I see that matted piece that can go in a frame and go on my wall, you bet your butt that I'm going to spend my money on that and not the index card. So, yes, market value, yes, it does increase the price. But book value, no, it does not increase the price. That was a question that was also sent in, so I was just answering that real fast. But tips on matting. I've had a few questions personally on how I actually do matting. I go to Hobby Lobby, okay? And there's a couple things you can do at Hobby Lobby. You can either have them do it, which is very cheap. It cost me $6 per item to get my stuff matted this time. They charge per hole that they cut. So if you have three holes, I think it's a dollar extra. If you have one hole, then it's a dollar less. But they're very nice down there. They work very fast. Or they also have the supplies where you can do it yourself, and it's even cheaper. But... you gotta have some more mastery cutting skills than I have to do it yourself. I don't trust myself with matting yet. I may get there. And I know some people that have really amazing mat collections. What they'll do is they'll get all these different people from different TV shows and mat index cards together to create a huge collage. And it just looks awesome. They do it themselves. They cut out, you know, the spots as they need them and make it look all nice and neat. I can't do it. I don't have the time to do that for one. And I don't have the skills to do it for a second. But I do go to Hobby Lobby. I would recommend if you have a Hobby Lobby to check it out. At least get one piece matted if you're interested and see how it turns out. Because they're really great down there. $6 a piece. It's really cheap, guys, to turn something that's a signed index card into something really nice with a photo on top. And with a when they slice the actual mat, they curve it. So you can see the inside of the mat, and it's just very classy looking. So that's my bid on matting. Stacey, if you want to talk a little bit about storing autographs, how do you store autographs? How do you keep them safe once you get them in?
Alrighty, basically what I do with my collection and how I store stuff, first thing is I'll frame and put whatever pieces I want to put up on my wall, and I'll change that up couple times a year, so I don't always have the same stuff up. So I'm, like I said, a couple times a year I'm changing that up. So if you guys watch my YouTube videos, sometimes you notice that there's different stuff up. So that's kind of what I do as far as that's kind of the first step, is if it's something that I get something in that I want display, that's the first step I go, is if it's going on the wall, I get it prepared to go on the wall. Other than that, photo wise all my photos go in either the 8x10 plastic sleeves or the 4x6s. Usually go into the 4x6 three pocket pages that I usually order from a local dealer here where I live. So then those go in binders and on bookshelves. Card wise, those just all go in either plastic sleeves or snap cases, and those all go in. Usually I have them all in three count, or the card boxes, the three row ones. I think they're like the 2000 count, I believe. Other than that, that's pretty much it. What I do with stuff, I don't have a lot of extra room now to for displaying stuff. So a lot of stuff is just in boxes and on bookshelves. And what about you, Zane?
I store in binders. Acid free. We talked about that last time. I don't give a crap about that until I ruin an autograph. It's just the way I am. But I just put all my stuff in binders, and even the cards I usually put into card sleeves and binders. I know it's not good for them, and I try to get the ones that are actually the best out of there fast if I do put them in. But yeah, I just don't have that many card utilities, like, you know, actual snap downs and stuff laying around. So I use those quite a bit, and all the stuff has a spot. I mean, I have a binder for everything that once I, you know, get everything sorted for the day, I put them up in the certain binders they go in. But it's really all it. I mean, if it's a really awesome autograph, like hanging on my wall behind me, but there's no trick to framing. You just stick it in the frame and put it on the wall. It's as easy as that. But that's it. That's really all I got. Let's move on to the giveaway. Yes, free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff. Let's pump up the energy. Pump up the energy. Yeah. And who won this week's giveaway where we gave away a signed Monty Irvin Topps Fan Favorites card? None other than David Soffin, known as Big Dog. And he won that card. Congratulations, David. Guys, if you want to win this week, it's very easy to enter. All you have to do is enter the keyword that you heard in this podcast on our Facebook page at facebook.com/autographweekly. Go there, post the keyword on our wall. If you do not have Facebook access, you may email us. We will allow that. It's autographweekly@gmail.com. Email us the keyword. We prefer the wall, though. It's a lot easier that way, for us at least. So go do that, guys. If you didn't hear the keyword, go listen to the podcast again, because it's in there. Oh, it's in there. You just have to listen. But what are they going to win this week, Stacey, if they win this week's contest?
What they are going to win is a Charlie Joyner certified autograph coming out of, I believe it's 2009, Donruss Gridiron Gear. Real cool-looking card. Zane's got a scan of it, and it'll be going up on our website here probably tonight, if not tonight, tomorrow, so you guys can see what that looks like. And we'll post it on Facebook probably as well, so you guys can see what that looks like. But pretty cool card, so another Hall of Famer we're giving away, so you can never complain about getting a Hall of Fame autograph.
And we got a couple more contests to talk about. First, we have the cover art contest going on right now. That's a month-long contest that ends in 2 weeks, guys. So if you're still working on those photos, need to start wrapping them up and getting them to us. If you need any supplies from us, such as a signature, we can scan our signatures in for you guys to use in the photos. Or if you need any photo, well, my photos are everywhere. If you need a photo of Stacy, ask Stacy. I'm sure he can send you one, but just Google Zane Savage, my photo's everywhere. And next we have the giveaway Stacy's doing, The Amazing 12 Days of Christmas. Tell them a little bit about that, Stacy.
All right, this is another Facebook contest. This actually started on yesterday, so we are on day two of that. Yesterday's was a Christian Ponder signed index card, and today's was, I believe, a signed Betty White index card, and Rob Gronkowski, who just set an NFL record for most touchdowns by a tight end in a season. So cool, two real nice autographs there. And like I said on Facebook, for those of you seeing this, I'm going to try to make these autographs fairly decent and some better names and whatnot. So, and just a reminder how that's going to work. Every day is going to be another autograph. So we're on day two, so it's two today. Tomorrow's going to be day three, so we'll have three, and then day four, four, and on and on. So that's how that's going to work. Excuse me. I've had real good feedback on that so far on Facebook, so real happy with that. And just a couple quick teasers here on some more stuff we're going to be doing. We've got some swag coming in from Chauncey Leopardi and Dick DiBartolo. So we'll have some news on what we're going to do with that stuff once we get it in an upcoming podcast. And a couple other real quick things here. Going to be doing your best autographs of 2011, so keep that in mind. We'll have more details about that. And we're going to be doing a little touch-up on the TTMer of the Month. It's going to become the Collector of the Month, and we'll have more details on that probably. I'm going to guess. I think we'll do that next week, probably, won't we, Zane?
Yeah, we will. Your voice went into falsetto there for a second, I think.
I know, I thought, oh, I almost couldn't speak there for a second. I was like,
oh, poor guy.
All righty.
Let's move on to TTM of the Week, and you can get your revenge on me here. What were the results?
Pure dominance. This was the battle with Bloodspawn 80 and his Morgan Freeman success, and TTM Central and his Michael York. And the numbers were Bloodspawn got 18 votes for 82%, and TTM Central got 4 votes for 18%. So that was a pretty dominant victory by me. So
you won the battle. Congratulations. But you will not win the war.
We will see about that. This could be a 2-week winning streak.
I don't think so. I am nominating Anime DVD 78 with an Alan Rickman return, my friend. It's Professor Snape himself. Technically, this is... I hate to say it because it was actually done on the 5th. So it's not technically this week, but I'm making an exception because I forgot to put it in last week. I had it on my list, and I actually lost my list. So it's going in this week. If you want to count that against me, go ahead and vote against me. But Alan Rickman, Alan freaking Rickman, by Anime DVD 78. Who'd you got? Who do you have?
But you go on this rant about voting against you, but voting against you is just going to be a vote for you again this week anyway. Because once again, my nomination is going to be something for something that Zane Savage got in, and that is what he talked about in his return recap earlier was the Sean Kemp autograph that he got in. So I had to go with that because you may see one of those a year if you're lucky. Yeah. And that's almost pushing it with Kim, so...
Yeah, he's not a very good signer at all. I mean, well, he's got a lot of bad press over the years. He's done a lot of bad things. You know, he's got mixed up in drugs, and of course everybody knows about the kid situation. But
he's kind of the Antonio Cromartie of the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's a very nice return. It was totally unexpected. I was just shot in the dark and came back good. So, all right, guys, go ahead and vote on our website, www.autographweekly.com. On the side on the right, you can vote for TTM of the week, and we'll actually have links to the videos where it shows off the autographs, and you can watch the videos first if you want to, and then vote based on the quality of the autographs. Remember, this is about the quality of the autographs, not the people that put out the videos. This is the actual... You're voting on the actual return. So, all right, let's move on and talk about... this is wrapping it up a little bit, but we want you guys to go rate and comment our podcast on iTunes if you have not. Lately, the last couple weeks, our ratings have been a little bit stagnant, but we have been growing. I mean, our numbers are growing every single week, so... that's not a problem, but remember, we want to remind you, when you do rate us and comment on iTunes, it boosts our iTunes views, because it puts us in the new and noteworthy section on the hobby section of the iTunes, and it gets us noticed by other people. So if you haven't already, go to iTunes and rate us whatever you think we deserve. But we'd very much appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. And that wraps up the podcast, guys. All right. I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacia Schaefer. As always, stay classy.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts. Echo.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.